Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Dara of Israel Abel Sarah. And I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. Please find your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Israel Abel Gemma, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess. Starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to introduce the sons and daughters of the Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I'm going to turn to the next speaker.
Shalom, I'm daughter of Israel Abel Peace Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you for a priestess starting very soon. Please turn over to Revelations 19:8. It's on page 983. And to them was granted that they should be aware in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous of saints. Now I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yeshua Abel Daniel Ogan Hawkins, and I like... Wait. The title of my speech is Fine Linen and Righteousness. Revelation 19:8. Fine linen is described as clean and white. Fine linen in Revelation 19:8 comes from the Greek word bisunos. The root word bisunos is a species of Egyptian flax plant that is spun into fine linen. Righteousness in that same verse comes from the Greek word dikaioma, meaning an ordinance, a sentence of acquittal or condemnation, a righteous deed. Fine linen is strong, durable, and non-elastic, just as we should be in keeping Yahweh's laws of righteousness. The steps to making linen in order are: step 1, plowing; step 2, sewing; step 3, pulling; step 4, stooking; step 5, rippling; step 6, retting; step 7, breaking; step 8, scutching; step 9, hackling; step 10, spinning; step 11, weaving; and step 12, bleaching. You can look these words up to see their parallel to becoming righteous. Fine linen becomes softer the more it is washed, and so we are softer and gentler as we attain Yahweh's righteousness. Please welcome the next fine speaker.
Shalom. Are you dressing to impress Yahweh? There are many ways we can dress to impress Yahweh. One of the most important ways we can dress to impress Yahweh is by wearing modest clothes and bringing honor and respect to ourselves and shows reverence to our great Father Yahweh. Dressing modestly is a very important part of being a member of the house of Yahweh. It sets us apart from the world. Another way we can impress Yahweh is by making sure our conduct is modest also. We do that by minding the way we walk and talk and how we carry ourselves every day, but also by making sure our choices we make in our lives would please Yahweh. Did you know that the fine linen is made from the flax plant? It is spun from the long fibers found in the many layers in the plant. The frequency of the linen is 5,000. And when we wear linen, it connects us on a higher level to our great Father Yahweh. Wearing our purple fine linen is not only connects us to Yahweh, but we are fulfilling prophecy too. Please turn to Revelations 19, verse 8. Revelations 19, verse 8. And to them was granted that they should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. When we wear our fine linen, we are also showing we are in unity to the whole house of Yahweh and bringing obedience to the greatest teacher, Pastor Yuzel Hopkins. As Deuteronomy 6, verse 25 says, it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all of the laws as Yahweh has commanded us to do. I wanted to thank our greatest pastor and overseer for teaching us to be modest in all our ways. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Now I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Shalom, sisters. Welcome home for those of you I had not seen at law class. Please sit. Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us who are here today, with those of us who were not able to make it at his great Feast of Tabernacles, but who are joining us over different forms of media, and all those who are hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of Yahweh. Let Yahweh's peace be with them all, with us all. What is the first thing you hear when I show you the theme for the feast? Now, before I show you the theme for the feast, I want to welcome our sisters of New, women of New, who will be speaking today. And we are all going to speak under this same theme. But as a small challenge to you, what is the first thing you hear? And I know I can see some of you racing your brains because you saw that theme somewhere. But what? Stop your brain now and only do it when you see the theme, okay? What's the first thing you think of when you see the theme for the feast? Can we see, please? The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Do you have the first thing that comes to your mind? Nice. Now, write a scripture next to that idea. a scripture that comes to your mind when you read the theme for the feast. Lovely, you have that. Now, keep that thought in mind and keep that scripture in mind, because I want you to see how nicely it matches, coincides with all our speakers who will be speaking on the same theme. Because just recently, the great one said, for those of you who were not here, but you did not miss it, he said, we are all connected. We are all connected. So hence, you have the thought, the first thing that comes to your mind. You have your scripture. Now, let us introduce our first great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Read everything you see. No, study everything you read. The title of my speech is Love, Believe, Never Give Up. Positive Law 206 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Notice it says as yourself. Which means before you can love others, who must you first love? Yourself. Now, what does it mean to love yourself? To love yourself means realizing that you have value, you are important, and that you have a purpose in life. Evaluating your life and realize that you're going to have to change. We can't change our circumstances, but we can change our perspective of them and how we handle them. And last but not least, forgiveness starts within. Forgiving ourselves that, yes, we're still growing, but never giving up no matter what, no matter how hard it is. Loving yourself, in other words, is believing in yourself. I want you to imagine you're in a car. You put the key in the ignition, but the car won't start. And you know, we're all busy people, so you're like, car, you better start. And you get upset, and you get outside, and you look at the tires, even though the pressure in the tire is not going to determine whether the car starts or doesn't start. And then you have a light bulb moment, and you get back in the car, and you think, did I put gas in the car? That's why it won't start. That's exactly how our life is. The car is your life. You are the driver, the key is Yahweh, and the fuel in the vehicle is a belief in yourself. You can have everyone behind you. You can have a couple people behind you. But if you do not believe in yourself, you will not get anywhere. Now, believing in yourself takes patience, just like believing in Yahweh. When you first started believing in Yahweh, we started reading. We got all the information we needed. It wasn't something like, this is the place I know I need Yahweh. No, it takes time, it takes patience. Just like believing in yourself. Little by little, you'll get the strength to believe in yourself. By learning from our past, but not staring at the past, looking forward to see what we have to hope for. Please turn over to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, found on page 597. It says, for I know the thoughts, plans that I have for you, says Yahweh. Thoughts of peace, not of destruction, to give you the future you hope for. Think, what future do I hope for? If you feel like you're getting nowhere in life, then it might be time that we change our direction in which our life is focused in. Don't compare your life to others, because we're all on different parts of our path of righteousness. We can make our life enjoyable and keep the laws of Yahweh at the same time. We cannot base our success based on society today. We base our success based on Yahweh's laws and the closer we are getting to achieving our goal. And what is our goal? The kingdom of Yahweh. We might have to go through a bumpy road to get there, but know that hope comes through hardship. You cannot get to where you want to be unless you go through a bumpy road. Now, don't wait till you're about to explode, you can't take it anymore, to actually reach out and talk to someone. Talk to your parents, your counselors. Yahweh said he won't put on us more than he can bear, But he did not say that we couldn't lean on our people that he has provided for us to help us. He said, with them, you will be able to handle everything that I put before you. Please turn over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you will continue to bring it to perfection until the day of Yahshua Messiah. Be confident. In other words, believe in yourself. Believe that you can do it. We are all a work in progress. When we believe in Yahweh, we believe in ourselves that we can do it as well. When we love ourselves, then we can take that next step to loving others as well. We might fall, but we get back up and run endlessly towards our dreams because we, the righteous saints of Yahweh, never give up. And with this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You can be seated. So the title of my speech today is Why Linen? There are so many different fabrics that we can see in our world today. We have cotton and polyester, to wool, to leather, to nylon. We can just keep going on and on. So why, out of all those fabrics, would Yahweh grant us to wear linen? Well, let's start at the beginning. Where does linen come from? Well, as we've heard, linen comes from the flax plant that grows out of the ground. The flax plant is made of several vitamins and minerals found in the soil, such as copper, which is important for growth, development, and various bodily functions, magnesium, which helps to maintain normal nerve and muscle functions, supports a healthy immune system, and keeps the heartbeat steady, and phosphorus, which is important for the structure of bone, teeth, and rebuilding of red blood cells. And we're going to keep these three things in mind because I'm going to come back to them. So now, how is linen made? Well, flax goes through several different stages before it can become linen. So as we can see, it starts as seeds. You have to plant it first. And then once it grows and it dries, it gets broken up to where they can remove all the seeds. And then after that, they remove the woody and the brittle straws from the fibers. Then it's all combed out and spun into yarn, which is then woven into linen fabric. And through this whole process, it's all natural, no chemicals are added, because they use the whole plant. Nothing of the plant is wasted. So how does all of this relate to us? Well, Genesis 2, verse 7 says, "And Yahweh formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The Hebrew word for dust in Genesis 2, verse 7 is afar, and it's Strong's number 6083, which means dry earth, dust, and taken from Hebrew word 6080, means clay, earth, mud, ashes, ground, mortar, powder, and rubbish. A common word that we can connect to dust is clay. And the term clay refers to naturally occurring materials made primarily of fine-grained minerals, which is moldable and stretchable when hydrated and will harden when dried or fired. And 1 Kefa 1 verse 7 speaks of the trials of our faith being tried by fire. So you see, we came from the same place as linen because we started out as the dust of the ground, just like the plant, the flax plant, starts as the dust of the ground. We are Yahweh's workmanship. We are like clay in the hands of the master potter. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, "But now, O Yahweh, you are our father. We are the clay and you our potter. And we all are the works of your hands." We're being made to become like Yahweh. And we're being formed into who Yahweh wants us to be. In Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 4, it shows us an example of the potter and the clay. So Jeremiah 18 says, "This is the word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hand. So he made it again into another vessel, shaping it as it seemed best to the potter to make. Yahweh knows what is best for us, and what's best for us is for us to be made and formed into his image and his likeness, which is righteousness. And none of us will be wasted. Just like none of the flax is wasted in the process of making linen, each one of us here, we all will have a part in Yahweh's plan. Amos 9, verse 9 says, "For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Just as one shakes with the sieve, yet not the least of the grain will fall upon the earth." So remember whenever we talked about the copper, magnesium, and the phosphorus? Well, those are major elements that is found in the human body. And those are the same elements that are found in the flax plant, which is used to make linen. So both us and linen are connected to the earth, and both were created by Yahweh. Since we are connected to linen, Yahweh has chosen this fabric to be the one that we are granted to wear. So why linen? Because together we complete the breath of life, the beginning and the end. Revelations 21, 6-7 says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. I will give to him who thirsts of the fountain of the water of life freely. He who overcomes will inherit all things. I will be his father, and he will be my son.'" And it was an honor to speak before you all today, and I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, sisters. Please be seated. My title is The Transformation of Flax to Life-Giving Linen. In Genesis 3:21, it says that Yahweh ordained linen holy garments for Adam and his wife to wear so they would remember his laws. Everything that Yahweh created for mankind is for mankind's benefit. It's healing, nourishing, strengthening, life-giving. This is shown perfectly in the healing properties of linen. From the article entitled "Linen, the Preferred Fabric for Clothing of Healing, Healthy Living, and Well-Being," dated May 20th, 2009, by Jillian Herkenrather, it says, "Scientists have discovered that linen fibers reflect light. The light energy aspect of living organisms has been measured by many individuals within the scientific community. This is light energy. This light energy is a frequency or a signature." From decktowel.com, how linen is made. First picture. Linen fabric is made from cellulose fibers that grow inside of the stalks of the flax plant. My first picture, please. One of the oldest cultivated plants in human history. Flax is an annual plant, which means it only has one growing season. And from seed planting to harvest, it's about 100 days. It grows to about 3 or 4 feet tall with glossy bluish-green leaves and pale blue flowers, though on rare occasions the flowers bloom red. Let's look at the frequencies of Yahweh's fabrics compared to man-made synthetic fabrics. Fabric frequencies is the light energy measurement, and we see that linen is the highest at 5,000, and it shows Yahweh's creation has frequencies, but when you get down to the bottom, it's the synthetic fabrics that have zero. They're void of this light energy. Linen's healing properties are that it has an ability to increase the body's frequency, as we've learned already. It's an excellent filter at protecting us against chemical exposure, noise, and dust. It can act as a barrier between the body and radiation because flax fibers appear to be totally resistant to radiation. Now, this bears repeating because what we've know the prophecies that are going to take place, one particular one in the last days, and that Yahweh's putting us back in linen. It can act as a barrier between the body and radiation because flax fibers appear to be totally resistant to radiation. Father Yahweh is in full control, sisters. It can also protect against Wi-Fi, cell phone signals, computers, and electronic appliances. Linen contains natural antibacterial and antiseptic properties that prevent bacterial growth. Bed sores can be avoided by using linen sheets. Linen accelerates the healing of skin diseases, and it promotes calm and concentration. And the silica in linen keeps it from rotting. There's even more benefits, so I encourage you to, to look at that. I just don't have time to cover them all. Now for a little history on the invention of synthetic fibers. From PBS.org, nylon is invented in 1935. Wallace Carruthers was director of DuPont Corporation's research center, and by 1934, Carruthers had a promising development. He combined chemicals amine, hexamethylene, diamine, and adipic acid. It created fibers, but they were weak. So through trial and error, he figured out to make the first strong synthetic fiber, which is nylon. Nylon was patented in 1935. It hit the market in 1939. And this was the launch of a whole era of synthetics. Another interesting fact I want to point out is that also in 1934, at the same time the DuPont Corporation was inventing the first synthetic fiber, they had also supposed connections to Hitler. As it says in the article, Doing Business with Hitler by Dusty Sklar, if you want to look that up. Sisters, do you see the contrast in moral character between Yowie, who created this wonderful flax plant from which this healing linen is made, compared to the ones who created the synthetic fabrics, which are void of this healing light energy? I don't know about you, sisters, but I don't look at clothing the same way anymore. When I have a first impression of a shirt, and I think it's such a pretty shirt, the pretty flowers on it, I'm thinking, oh, I hope this has this is made with natural fabric and not synthetic. So I look at the fabric information, and if it's polyester, it just doesn't, the value in that item of clothing drops to me. It's just not as pretty to me anymore. Its value to me depends on what it's made out of. And I think that's how Yahweh looks at us. To Father Yahweh, it's what we're made out of that gives us our beauty and our value. I looked at Malachi 2:5 in Yematria. Can you put up? Okay. But you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. And Numbers 80:51, 59:46, and 9:91 came up. 80:51 from 80:85 is to hear, truly obey, understand, and witness. I dropped the zero because there's no 80:51 in Greek, and 8:51 in Greek is to take away sins of victims, expiate, which means atone for them. Yahweh putting out of sight, remembering no more the sins committed by men, granting pardon for sins. 8:51 in Hebrew is a city of priests. And then it referred me back to Hebrew Shema 80:51. 59:46 in the Hebrew was the supreme, most high Yahweh. 9:91 in the Greek means to look at, to see, be observant, watchful, respond, be aware, be alert. And 9:91 in Hebrew is the word womb, and it means brothers. And it references Isaiah 44, 2:24, speaking of our last day's witness, pastor and his brother. In Matthew 3:16, Yeshua said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In Luke 12:48, he said, but everyone to whom much is given, much will be required of him. And to whom much has been committed from him, much more will be demanded. In Revelation 22:14, it says, Yeshua said, blessed are those that keep his laws, that they will have right to the tree of life, and they will enter into the gates into the city. We have been given many wonderful gifts in the house of Yahweh. The first one is our great teacher, Pastor Israel Hawkins. Being granted to wear this fine linen is a great gift and a great honor. Let's walk worthy of this honor, sisters. Pastor said a few years ago that the hardest thing we'll ever have to do is to face ourselves. So, sisters, this overcoming process is simple, but it's not always easy. We're striving to become like linen with its life-giving healing properties. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. I encourage every one of you, every one of us, if we fall, to get back up and let Yahweh pick us up and make us stronger. And with this, I'm going to say, praise Yahweh. I love you all, my righteous sisters, and I would like to introduce the next great teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. The title of my speech is Just Humble Yourself. Humble, meaning in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, meaning not proud or haughty, not arrogant. From dictionary.com, It means lower in dignity or not having importance. My first scripture in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. You must remember that Yahweh your Father led you all the way those 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you and test and prove you. And know what's in your heart, the seat of your intelligence, to see whether you will keep his laws or whether you will not. I want to share a story of how I came to Yahweh's house. And I learned about Yahweh through a preface in the King James Version. And also I was sent a prophetic word booklet. And many of you might have heard this story before, but that drew my attention to Yahweh. So when the first prophetic word booklet I got was, Easter is devil worship. Now, if that doesn't humble you, you better run. That was my first humbling experience, to learn that Yahweh loves us and that he showed us the way of evil and not to practice that. We must know how to become righteous, a righteous vessel. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure, having the seal. Yahweh knows those who are his, because everyone who represents the name of Yahweh departs from evil. Now, I want to tell you why it's important to be humble and practice humility that Yahweh wants for us. Pride. We must get that out of us, pride. I'll give you a definition of pride. Having or showing a high or excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. We must get this out of us, sisters. Pride is very blinding and hard to see in ourselves. Do we murmur? Do we voice arguments when we're not asked? Turn to Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Turn over to Luke 7, verse 36 to 50. And this is the great example it shows in Luke about Nora. How she went in verse 39. Excuse me. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw him, he thought to himself, saying, this man, if you were really the prophet, would have known who and what kind of woman she was, touches him, for she is a sinner. And Yahshua discerning said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, teacher, speak. There was a certain moneylender who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And one had nothing to pay. He just canceled both debts. Therefore, tell me, which of them will you love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose one who forgave him most. He said to him, you have judged correctly. Then he turned to Nora and said, Simon, see this woman? I enter into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but Nora has not ceased from kissing my feet since the time I came in. You do not anoint my head with oil, but this woman, Nora, has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, though they are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but the one who has little is forgiven, and the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. So this is to show you that we are We must get this pride out of us, where you're not better than others. Thank you. In chapter 14 of the book of Yezreel, verse 83, it says, you cannot make it without it. You can go off on your own pride if you want to, but you will burn in hell. And Yeshua said, pretense will not get you there. The only thing you can do is humble yourself. Humble yourself. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, rage, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, gossip, slander, blasphemy, but put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just to Yahweh, for the Messiah's sake has forgiven us. This is how Yahweh wants us to be. Be gentle. Be patient. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Be patient with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as Messiah forgave you, is also must forgive. And above all things, put love, which is the bond of perfection. I encourage you, sisters, please, I beg you, humble yourself. Don't think you're better than others. We must be like Yeshua and serve one another and show that compassion and patience for one another. And with this, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. My title is Making the Connection with Yahweh. So if you could please put up my first slide, and I put that in the Yometria, Making the Connection with Yahweh. So the first number, it's Jewish 2889, and then it goes into the English 1980 and the Simple 330. Well, let's look to the Jewish 2889. It comes from 2891, and it means pure in a physical, chemical, ceremonial, or moral sense. Clean, fair, pureness. Greek 2889 comes from 2865. It's an orderly arrangement that is decoration, by implication, the world in a wide or narrow sense, including its inhabitants, literally or figuratively, morally, adorning world. The English is 1980, and it's akin to Hebrew 32:13, and it means to walk literally and figuratively, to behave, to exercise, follow, go, walk, come, away, and along. And remember in 1980, in the 12th Roman month, the second day, the establishment of the house of Yahweh actually began at the first service in the remodeled home. So let's look to the Greek 1980. It's from 1909 and 4649. That means to inspect. That is, by implication, to select. By extension, to go, to see, relieve, look out, and visit. Yahweh's making his selection right now. He's looking for members that will help relieve the suffering in this world through the keeping of his laws and the teaching of them. Now let's look to the simple. This blew my mind. Simple 330. In Hebrew, it's fine linen. Greek 330 is from G303, to flourish and to revive. So we see that here. When we make the connection with Yahweh by keeping his laws, as Deuteronomy 6:25 tells us, this is at the house of Yahweh and wearing the fine linen garments to become the people that he has called us out to be, to relieve the suffering of the world. So if you look to Revelation 19, verse 8, it says, and to them it was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So fine linen is described as clean and white, but as we heard from other speakers, in the Greek, it has a double meaning. It's not just of a color. It means shining, brilliant, bright, and transparent. Daniel 12, verse 3, it says, and to those who are wise will shine as the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Those who have the connection with Yahweh and become teachers of righteousness will shine in their linen garments. We know that there are two trees in the garden, one being the Catholic Church, which is Satan's government, and the great house of Yahweh being the other, which will the government that will overtake everything and bring peace to the universe. I have an article, if you can please show it. It's called SamplerEcclesiastes.com, or Celsius, I'm sorry. And it's entitled, Why the Church Prescribes Use of Linen for the Liturgy Instead of Cotton. So the use of cotton or silk, it's not approved for the liturgy. So I'm like, what is liturgy? Because I don't really understand those things. But let me just give you a breakdown of what Wikipedia says about liturgy. It's something that the whole Christ, head and body, celebrates. You know, Christ, the one high priest, together with his body, the church, in heaven and in earth. They have a frequency that goes right to Jesus Christo. We know that they worship Zeus. So they follow parts of the book of the law, but they mix it up as they have always done since the very beginning. They are hoping that Satan will intervene on their behalf, which we know that that's not the way it is. Only Yahweh can bring salvation through Yeshua Messiah at the house of Yahweh. So they have these things are called, they're little skull caps, and I have a picture of it. They're actually called zucchetto, and it's an Italian word, and it means small gourd. It comes from the word zucca, which means pumpkin. So they have this little thing on their head that kind of looks like a half pumpkin with a little stem. And it's in eight parts sewn together to make that little hemisphere thing. And the interesting part of it is they're not made out of linen. They're wearing polyester on their head. And not if not polyester, it's cotton. So I have an article from Life-Giving Linen, and it says that a diseased, nearly dead person has a signature frequency of about 15. That's where polyester, rayon, and cotton register. Quite fitting that those who worship the dead in the city of the dead have a frequency of death on their heads. And Yahshua Messiah said to them, you're like whitewashed sepulchers. You appear beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. This is not so in the great house of Yahweh, though. Our kippahs are all linen, and all the garments are linen, and they're made specifically from the pattern that Father Yahweh prescribed in the law to his people. Praise Yahweh. Not even the Hebrew people make their kippahs correctly because they haven't been taught yet. So if you're interested in knowing more about the holy garments, please get our book, Why the Holy Garments. It lays it right out because we're the house of Yahweh and Yahweh gives this to his people. And he, even if a person's linen has been taken away, he always clothes his people in righteousness and linen. Yosef's tallit was taken away. You know, his brothers took his tallit away. And when he got sold into slavery, Yahweh gave it back to him because Pharaoh clothed him. In Exodus 41:42, it says, then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Yosef's finger and clothed him in garments of fine linen. He was chosen. Yahweh put the linen back. In the book of Hadassah, the king clothed Mordecai in a royal robe. Could that have been linen too? Linen was what was used back then. And I'm just saying that, put that in your mind. When Yahshua Messiah was being mocked, they put a royal robe on him. Could that too have been linen? Then when they mocked him, after they mocked him and they put him to death, they wrapped him in linen. And that frequency from the linen, from the anointing that Nora gave to him, and from Yahweh Almighty, he was raised from the dead. I'm sorry. It's just so beautiful because Yahweh has given our great overseer, the man who was clothed in linen, who on that future date was granted, that he clothed the people that sit at his feet in fine linen this very day. So let us rejoice. Because you never have to worry about what you're going to wear again. Yahweh has put you in linen. So please rise and turn. I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Okay. The title of my speech today is The Language of Yahweh. Now, our great overseer, anyone who has been learning under at his feet for any period of time, we all can say that our great overseer, he only speaks scripture. Everyone can agree, overseer only speaks scripture. But not only does he speak scripture, but he speaks like scripture. Have you noticed that? Even when you go to read from the books of Yisrael, the way that he brings out messages to us, it is spoken just like when you read the book of Yahweh. And that is Yahweh within him. And when you think about the way the overseer speaks, when you think about the way the overseer dresses, the way the overseer walks, the way the overseer carries himself, it's all Yahweh. So when we, as his seed, who are patterning ourselves after the example that he sets forth for us, we're patterning ourselves as Yahweh also. So when I was thinking about this language that overseer speaks, it brought to mind the peaceful solution. And I was just like, Yahweh is so amazing how he has everything thought of in advance, and then he inspires overseer who has everything thought of in advance. And so we don't have to worry about what we need, how we need to say things, what we need to say, what we need to, how we need to dress, because it's already set out for us. So when I thought about the peaceful solution, it made me think about the differences of character and personality. Now, all of us here, we come from different parts of the world, and, you know, we have different personalities. You know, some of us are quieter than others. Some of us are not as outgoing as others. And some of us might be more reserved. But when you think about the character, we all have that in common. Because we all are making sure that we pattern our every innermost being after these laws that our overseer is bringing out to us. So our character, our substance, our inwardness is the same. And as we continue to change our character to that of righteousness, we'll notice that our personalities aren't so different after all, because our preferences should all be that of righteousness. And that comes down to the words that we speak, or even to the little sayings that we might use. Me and a great sister that I work with the other day, and she was saying something, and then she went to actually make up her own little saying, and I thought that that was the most awesome thing ever, because she incorporated wagons and driving the donkey and things like that. But that's awesome, because you know why? Because it's patterned after Yahweh's simple way of life, rather than using some type of saying that is made up from out in the world. And we, as our overseer has been pushing us to do, should be getting rid of every form of the world out of our speech, out of our dress, out of our lives, so that when people talk to us or see us or hear us coming, they hear, see, and feel Yahweh within us. And as I was thinking of all these things, it made me think about Deuteronomy 6:7, when it talks about teaching our children diligently. And the more that I learn from overseer, I see how scripture always has a literal meaning, but it also has an underlining meaning as well. And so, yes, it's telling us to teach our children, but what does overseer tell us? If we don't have children, are we still teaching? Yes. because anyone who is watching you, anyone who's around you, is learning from you. So when it tells us to teach our children diligently, that's talking about everyone who you pass. So just because you don't think, oh, I'm not teaching a child, there is somebody who is watching. And scripture also tells us that if we cause any of these little ones to fall, that's not going to be really great for us in the end. So we should be very diligent to consider the words that we use, the way that we dress. Great family, the way that we are now is so much more beautiful than what we were years past. And we are so close to the end. When I read the scripture that says that the saints have been granted, it means so much more now than when you actually consider what those words actually mean. And it did, it took me to that court setting. And when I think about, like, when a lot of saints went to get their names changed to, you know, and you had to go before the judge and you had to present your case of why you want your name to be changed. And then that judge can either grant you that request to have your name changed, or he can deny that request. And for you to be granted that request was a big deal because you wanted your name to be changed. And so for us to be granted this opportunity to have a higher frequency so that all those out in the universe can feel our righteousness, that is an honor. So as you go to pick out your linen garment that you will wear for the day, you should make sure that every bit of your day is filled with spreading out more and more righteous frequencies through your speech, through your thoughts, through your every action amongst all of the children that we pass on day-to-day basis. Because, great saints, the universe, the creation is joyfully waiting. It is waiting on us to come into unity and to be a blessing to one another. Great family, I love you dearly, as I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Trust in Yahweh. Now, we have heard many speeches so far about our theme, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. How many of you remember when our pastor and overseer gave us the calling, the announcement to make the fine linen robes? It was on Abraham 8. And that day was a very important day in the work of Yahweh, because pastor gave news articles and also scientific information about the frequencies and how important it is for us to wear the fine linen and to show Yahweh that we want to be in unity with him, but he sees us for our righteous works. Now, on that day, whenever pastor spoke, he made some very important statements. He said that by trumpets, but definitely by the Feast of Tabernacles, we would all be wearing purple linen. So did that mean that we called the worldly stores to see if they had linen available for us? No. The thousands of robes that had to be made, that was willingly made for each and every one of us, that took a lot of time. And no manufacturers can do that in 8 to 10 weeks. Sometimes we can't get fabric for 12 to 16 weeks. So this is linen, 100% fine linen. So quickly, there was a team of workers that got together and made phone calls, researched on the internet about the 100% fine linen, but not just the 100% fine linen, the 100% cotton thread that was to be sewn in these linen garments. So Pastor approved the color, the linen, and the thread. And then the fun part, the pattern making. How many of you can make a pattern? I can't. But we have some really great women in the house of Yahweh who can do that. So they started making patterns to fit from the smallest infant all the way to the largest person in the house of Yahweh. And largest, I mean by height. Okay. Now, in the house of Yahweh, we have a lot of diligent workers. So the call came for help. I'm sure you've heard many sermons that we've had announcements. We need help. We need help. So we did. We had helpers. The plan started the morning, one first day morning, a group of women came in, and nothing was set up in the sanctuaries yet. We had two designated areas, and the areas were clean, they were prepped, they were ready. And then come in the cutting tables, the sewing machines, the sergers, the ironing boards, the irons, and the workers. And to see all these women that are very skilled, but then you have some of us who aren't that skilled, who don't sew, who don't serge, but some of us who can cut, some of us who can't cut. But at the end of this project, for 8 to 10 weeks, women, some worked from 8 to 12-hour days every day, diligently. Some came in and worked 30 minutes, an hour to 2 hours, whatever time they could dedicate, 7 days a week for this wonderful project. So this is our true family. Did anybody ask to go to the South office to ask to get paid $10 to $15 an hour for this job? No, we willingly did it. Willingly did it. Why? Because we love our family. That's why. Now, little did we know that we were fulfilling a prophecy in these last days. In Revelation 15, that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, and that the golden girdle that is tied around our waist. But that will be brought out later. In the fourth book of Israel, page 202, verse 86, chapter 21, the reverence of Yahweh 14, the great love Yahweh has for his sons, the priest. Verse 86. Revelation 19:8, and to them it was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now remember what righteousness is. Deuteronomy 6:25, keeping the laws of Yahweh. That's what we are being taught in the house of Yahweh right now. To train, to train, to train for this great job of taking over the greatest kingdom that will ever exist. It's going to be given to us. Now, who is a saint? We are, right? All of us here. A saint is a person who keeps Yahweh's laws. Now, for many of us, we want to be a righteous saint, right? We want to be a part of the work of Yahweh. We want to be that willing servant. So there's two things that we can do to qualify for this. The first one is believe into the one sent. Very simple. Some say, some don't agree. But in the end, those who believe into the one sent and obey the one sent, they are going to be wearing the fine linen and they're going to be part of this righteous kingdom forever. In Yochanan 6:29, Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe in him whom he has sent." It doesn't say question everything our last day's witness says, does it? No, it says believe into, which means you open your ears, you close your mouth, and you believe with a willing heart, and you obey, and you believe. And sometimes we don't understand at first. It's okay. The more you practice it, First Yochanan 3, 7 through 10, we're not righteous when we come to the house of Yahweh by no means. I don't see, if I ask anybody in here if they're perfect, I don't see any hands on this side of the wall. Okay? The thing is we're not, and we know that, because we're humble people, and we're teachable, but we're practicing. We don't ever stop practicing that righteousness. And the number two is believe without seeing. In the fourth book of Israel, page 204, verses 112 through 114, and this verse pastor's talking about, Yochanan 20:29. Yeshua said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Notice this blessing right here. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Think of the tremendous odds that this group of people will overcome sin without ever seeing the completion of the plan of Yahweh. We are relying totally upon the inspired words of Yahweh that this thing will come to completion. We believe without seeing. In verse 114, and in here he's talking in Matthew 16, verse 17. Yeshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Yana, for your flesh and blood only has revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Think on this. Yahweh's Holy Spirit opens your mind when you can see. Have faith, full confidence, and be willing to lay down your life. Lay down your life. The people after you are going to have much more proof than what you based your faith on. You're believing without seeing, as Abraham did. This is what is going to make us a special people to Yahweh. It's making us special to Him because we believe without seeing. We are special to Him. We will inherit this great kingdom of Yahweh because of our belief. Now, do we believe without seeing? We do, right? There's many things. Have we ever seen Yahweh? No. Has Yahweh spoken to us personally? No, we know that. Yahweh only speaks to our pastor and overseer, right? But we believe in Him, so we believe without seeing. Whenever we're given an instruction, sometimes you get a call and you're asked to do something. Well, we know that instruction. Pastor doesn't have to specifically tell us. He has created an administration and it goes down the chain of command, right? So we need to be humble, submissive, and obedient and do as we've been instructed. Because as we've been taught by the greatest teacher in the world, that we are the righteous saints of Yahweh. So let's wear our fine linen and enjoy the rest of the feast. Because remember, when we believe without seeing, we are putting our full trust in Yahweh. And I'll turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Now, continuing on this theme of fine linen represents the righteousness of the saints, my title is righteousness. So what is righteousness? This righteousness, as described by Yahweh, is found in Deuteronomy 6:25, and we all know that scriptures. It's found on page 153 in your scripture, in your book of Yahweh. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, it says, and it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all these laws before Yahweh our Father as He has commanded us. Now, righteousness starts in the house of Yahweh. And that's the reason Yahweh said, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh, which is the house of Yahweh. For your notes, that's Matthew 6:33. Now, Yahweh said that He will make us into a kingdom of priests, His sons and daughters. Now, righteousness stops when we start practicing God worship, when we start worshiping the gods. Now, when Cain partook of God worship, killing the first righteous teacher, which was Abel, the world turned to God worship, and therefore hating, fighting, and wars began. But in these last days, righteousness is brought back. If you turn to page 705, Micaiah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, it says, "But in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregation, and all people will eventually flow to it. And many nations will come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain uplifting of Yahweh, and to the house of the Father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his path, because the law will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore.'" So here we see Yahweh says that in the last days his house will be established. It will teach his ways to the world. It will stop. All the wars will stop. And consideration for one another will take over all walks of life. Now, before I had said that righteousness starts in the house of Yahweh, so I put that in the Yamech here, and it's what Numbers 22:68, 3:78, and 19:07, and I checked them in the Greek. So 22:68 in the Greek means Isaiah, which is Yahweh saves. 3:78 in the Greek means to fulfill, to complete, make complete. Isn't that what Yahweh wants to do with us? To make us complete, to fulfill his plan? Praise Yahweh. And 19:07 in the Greek, it means hold out, hold fast, give attention, watch, notice, to stay, heed. Isn't that what we are being encouraged by the overseer to do, to heed to the teachings of the house of Yahweh, to hold fast? So in conclusion, I encourage you to hold fast to the teachings of the house of Yahweh and all that we are being taught in the house of Yahweh. Practice it. Strive. We might fall, but we need to get up and do it again until it becomes part of our life. Now I would like to also tell you about, I put in the Yametria, when you study the books of Israel Hawkins, you're actually going direct to answers from him. I put that phrase in the Yametria, and the numbers are 8176, 61, 26, and 1021. And 1021, it means a house, a family. Isn't that what we are? A house, a family? And also says, inside a building, as opposed to outside, represents a place of worship or a sanctuary. Isn't that what this is? The sanctuary? So I encourage you to study the books of Israel, because that's what will help us to get the God worship out of our lives and to become like Yahweh as we need to be. With that, I'll turn to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please sit. The title of my speech is Serve Yahweh with Gladness. Positive law number 5, found in Exodus 23:25, says, tells us to serve Yahweh. If we look at Psalms 100, verse 2 tells us, it's telling us, how to serve Yahweh is to serve Yahweh with gladness. So in order for us to serve Yahweh with gladness, we need to know the definition. So I look at Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and it said gladness means with delight, with pleasure, rejoice, joyful, pleased. So this is what Yahweh wants from us, to serve him with joy and pleasure. Okay, I'm going to give you a little scenario. Let's say you asked me to, you were busy in the work, and you said, "Kind of Mariah, could you please go to the cafeteria and pick up my meal?" And I said, "Sure, I will serve you." On my way to the cafeteria, I got a rock in my shoe. I got some stickers in my skirt. And we all know how that feels, right? And to top it off, I had to wait online for about 15 minutes. And I could not wait to get back to tell you what hardships I suffered while I was serving you. Did I serve you with joy and gladness? No. And sisters, sometimes this is what we do to Father Yahweh. Sometimes we tell Father Yahweh about all the things we encounter when we come to his great house, when he asks us to serve him. And we know that in serving Yahweh, there's only benefits. So there should be no complaints.
Correct?
Right, we should have no complaints. We should not do that to our great Heavenly Father Yahweh. This is a time for us to focus on serving him with gladness. So let's start with our first example from the scriptures. Let's look at our great high priest, Yeshua, Messiah. And Yakadam Mark 14, verse 32, this is an account where Yeshua was getting ready to do the greatest service for us, mankind. He was getting ready to give his life. And in verse 36, we see where he knew he was going to have a lot of pain, there's going to be a lot of suffering. But did he focus on that? No. He said to great Father Yahweh, not what I will, but what you will. This is this is the mindset that we must have in serving our great Heavenly Father Yahweh. Look, he was humble. And I look at another example here in Daniel 3. We look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I like this. I like this because you see the power here. You know that the king made a decree that when all the songs were sung, the flute, whatever, that they had to fall down and worship him. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, they weren't going to do it. And the king looked at them. I'm going to look at Daniel 3, Daniel 3, on page 674, and verse 14. This is the king. He's using his kingly power, he said to them. He says, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not want to serve my gods, Elohim, now worship the golden image which I set up? And this is, I like their response. In verse 16, they said to him, there's no need for us to answer you cautiously on them in that matter. You can imagine that, cautiously in that matter. And this is what we have to do. We have to be willing to serve our great Heavenly Father, even if we have to go through some hardship. Yes, so what? You know, we are serving our great Heavenly Father, Yahweh. We have our great example of our great overseer who serves us. It's not a big thing for him to do anything for us. I'm sure he doesn't know me, but I'm sure if I have to ask him to help me out somewhere, he would try to serve me. I'm sure that I've seen it. I've seen his work at hand. And that's our example, that we would want to serve and do it joy and not make it seem like a trouble. I didn't collaborate with our great Kahana, but she took my speech. I was going to talk about the women who did the linen, and I'm still going to talk about them because I had the honor and the pleasure of being there for the past how many weeks. I'm not even counting, but I can tell you what I saw. I saw a group of women coming together and doing the holy garments. I can tell you that your garment was made with love and gladness. They want to do it. They came daily. Some had pain. One sister had a pain in her neck, but that didn't stop her. And they got on those sewing machines, and they would do their thing. And then I can't sew, but I turned up with my iron. I did what I can do. And I sat, and I would go, and I would do my thing. And they would say to me, you're not hot. You're not tired? You keep doing it. You come here and you stand up here. How you do this? But I said, one day I'll share the secret with you. And the secret is, I was following their example. Do you think it would be fitting for me to walk into their workplace and start complaining, oh, I'm so hot. I'm so, that's not what we're about. I stood in my place and I did what they did and I served with joy and gladness. And not only did I say it there, I got the opportunity to float around. I float around from here to there and I love it. I love it. I went to the bakery and I saw the same thing. They were doing it with joy and gladness. The butter house, they did the same thing. The cafeteria, this is what I saw. All serving with joy and gladness. And also at the south office, they come in, may I serve you? And this is what we should be about, sisters, serving with joy and gladness. One situation, I went to one place where it was summer, it was hot, and there was a wood stove on. And I was like, okay, how am I going to serve here with joy and gladness? But guess what? The people who were working there, I never heard one complaint. So how dare me come into their workplace and say, oh, it's so hot in here. No, I did what they did. They do. And this is what you do when you serve with joy and gladness. You could influence someone. You put aside all whatever you're feeling and you do it because you're serving Yahweh. When you're serving one another. Okay, you see, sometimes it's not always easy to serve Yahweh. And this, right now we're in a third tithe year. And, you know, you might hear a lot of complaints. Oh, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. Sometimes you have to make some sacrifices. That's all part of it. But this is the time when Yahweh says, prove me. Look at Malachi 3 verse 16. Prove me. And he is faithful. He will help you. You just have to trust that he will get you through serving him. So, sisters, let us not make it seem like an inconvenience to serve our great Heavenly Father. Let us do whatever he asks us to do with joy and gladness. Our great pastor has been telling us that the courts of heaven are open and we are being judged on what we think, what we say, and what we do. And there's a book written about us. We have been granted to wear this fine linen robe, sisters. Let us wear it well. Let us clothe ourselves with humility and let the courts of heaven see us serving with great pleasure at Yahweh's great house. Yes, sisters, let them see us serving with joy and gladness. And with this, I have the pleasure to turn it to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Let the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you on this great second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to get right into it. The title of my speech today is Straight is the Gatekeeper. I just want to reaffirm the prophecy in your minds that we should have no doubt that Yahshua, our high priest, knew according to prophecy and identified our great overseer, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, that he would be the one that he would be working with in this last generation. So if you have your books of Yahweh, turn over to Matthew 7, verse 14. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there are who find it. Now, Yeshua wasn't just talking about a dirt path or a gravel road that we travel on. Yes, he was talking about the established path that our overseer has been teaching us to travel on, the way of Yahweh, which you can find in Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. But how do we know what those established paths are? Because we have a teacher. And Yeshua knew exactly who he would be beholding in these last days, in this time period right before his second coming. And I will show you that he identified without a doubt who the gatekeeper of this gate is and what that gate is. So if you turn over to Yochanan chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter through the door into the sheepfold, but climbs in some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, the sheepfold is the kingdom of Yahweh, or the kingdom of priests that Yahweh is forming at this time. He who enters, where it says, he who enters through the door. that he is Yahshua. He is the shepherd who has entered into that door. He is the forerunner who has gone into the most holy place before we have. And for your notes, you can write Hebrews 10, 12, 19 through 21, and 1 Kefa 2, 25, where it says that Yahshua is the elder and shepherd of our souls. Now, from here on out, pay attention to the numbers, because you're going to see numbers that we've learned about and Pastor's Lot numbers pop up in these words. Now, in that scripture, the word door is Greek number 2374, and it means gate, door, and entrance. And immediately what should pop into our minds is Genesis 28:17, that this is none other than the house of Yahweh, the gateway, the entrance into the kingdom of Yahweh. So that door is the same thing as that gate. It's the house of Yahweh. This is the house of Yahweh that we're in right now, this training grounds that is helping us to qualify to enter into that sheepfold, to enter into that kingdom, to qualify to be that kingdom of priests. Now, the word doorkeeper is Greek word 2374, from Greek word 2374 and the word, Greek word oros, which has to do with watching or with your eyes. And it means a watcher or a gate warden. And if you turn really quickly, or you can write in your notes, Yochanan Mark 13, it's going to show you who that is, somebody who's working in this last generation. It says, it would be like a man taking a long journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants to each his work. Now that was Yeshua who gave the disciples the work that they did. Then the house of Yahweh allowed it to die off into this last generation. It says, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Now remember, that doorkeeper is the gate warden or the gatekeeper, the same thing. It says, so therefore watch, for you do not know when the head of the house is coming. He was talking about these last days, this last generation. So that he's identifying that there's a doorkeeper in this last generation, or gatekeeper. Now that word, this word warden, from the word gate warden or gatekeeper, describes pastor without a doubt. It means, from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, one having charge or care of something, and that should bring to mind Matthew 24, 45 through 46, an official charged with special supervisory duties, like an overseer, or with enforcement of specified laws or regulations. Now, the synonym of that word warden means to guard, and keep that word in mind, because I'm going to go over that in a minute. It means keeper, like Genesis 4, the keeper of sheep, and watchman. Pastor is the watchman identified in Ekklesia 33, who's giving the warning to the world, and also giving the warning to us of staying on those established righteous paths. Now, in the Amatria, I looked up Yisrael Hawkins, Yahshua's gatekeeper. And it comes from words 389, 2334, and 3134. Notice those numbers, 23, the gathering, 34, 31, when the Dust Bowl started, 34. Now, the word number 389 means surely, truly, certainty, and that we should think about the prophecies, that Yahweh's prophecies are sure. We are certain that they're going to come to pass. And it's from word 3559, which means, now listen to this, because this describes what Pastor has been doing for the last 40-plus years. To set up, to establish, to prepare, appoint, faithfulness, fasten, be fixed, ordained, perfect, be or make ready, as in the linen, set aright, establish, stand, and set. And I have on the screen some scriptures that you can write down for your notes as references, and that's just a few. But the last word is the word fashion. And remember that word fashion. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 44, in verse 2, it says, this is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Now, that next word in the Yamatria, 3134, means Yahweh is his help. That word help is word number 5828, and it means to surround, to protect, to guard, or aid. Now, the word guard, remember, is part of that word, is one of the synonyms of gate warden or gatekeeper. And I thought about that number 3134, because in 31, I was looking it up about the Dust Bowl. And the Dust Bowl had started around 1931. And then Pastor's parents in 1934 moved to Oklahoma. Now, I'm thinking, why would they move to a place where the Dust Bowl had started? But Yahweh inspired them in order to protect Pastor, to guard Pastor, so that he could be raised up to establish the house of Yahweh and finish this priesthood. Now, the word formed in Isaiah 44:2 is word number 3335. And these are things we've heard before, but I just want to go over them again. It means squeezing into shape, to mold into form, to frame, purpose, and fashion. Fashion. Now remember, that word was in word number 389, to fashion. Now who is it that was being formed or fashioned in verse 2? Well, if we look back up to verse 1, and remember the word straight from Matthew 7:14, straight is the gate. In verse 1 it says, "Now hear, O Yaakov, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen or appointed." And also in verse 2 at the very end, it says, "Do not be afraid, Yaakov, my servant, and Yeshurun," so here he's identifying Israel Abel Hawkins, "whom I have appointed." And that word Yeshurun is word number 3484, and it means upright. And it comes from 3474, another one of Pastor's thought numbers. And it means to be straight. So you see how we've gone full circle, back to Matthew 7, straight. Make or take the straight way or straight path. Be upright. And it should bring to mind Isaiah 44:28, where it says, "The one saying for uprightness, the one being my shepherd." And Isaiah 45:1, this is what Yahweh says to his anointed or to his appointed, his chosen, his elect, for uprightness, who he has taken by his right hand. Now we can see that Yeshua was clearly in Matthew 7:14 identifying our great overseer. And the last number, which I thought was interesting, which Yahweh willing, if I get the opportunity to speak again, I'm going to go over this number, which is 2334, which means a life-giving. And it says, for example, a living place. The house of Yahweh is the only place that gives life. This is the place where life is given. And I'll go into, Yahweh will, and I can go into that word a little bit more because there's a lot more meaning to it. But it also means a village or a small town. Now think about that with what we've been hearing about the city of Israel, which we know we're going to hear so much more about. But there's a lot, too, with that charter in the 80s, in 82, when Texas... granted the house of Yahweh the official charter, there's some things in there about that Yahweh will be able to speak on again. And great sisters, I just want to encourage everyone with 1 Thessalonians 5:20, don't neglect the prophecies. We've been told to go back over the mark of the beast. We know these prophecies, the prophecies have come to pass. We're living in prophecy now. We're going to see them finish. Now hold fast to these prophecies. Hold fast to the teachings so that we can qualify to be that chosen elect people, the saints of Yahweh, arrayed in fine linen that will never be deceived. And with that, I'll turn this podium over to the next teacher.
Shalom. Please be seated. My title today is The Signature of Two Kings. Okay, and so as we've been learning about the linen, we know that the word signature, it means a distinctive mark, characteristic, or sound indicating identity. And so with that word, I wanted to focus on the word characteristic, because what we're going to do is we're just going to compare the character traits of two kings. One is our supreme king, Yahweh, in heaven, and an earthly king. But when we think about the earthly king, you know, think about ourselves, because we can all put ourselves in that position. We all have negative character traits that we want to weed out and replace with positive ones. But before I get into that, I just wanted to give you a little rundown, just a little repetition, as I'm sure you've heard, because we're talking about linen. Linen has many physical benefits if we wear it. And if you look at some websites for you, like lifegiving.com, you can find out a lot of information about that. Lifegivinglinen.com, and it talks about it on there, that the human body has a signature frequency of 100. And if we wear anything lower than this, it weakens the body. But if we wear anything that is higher, which we know that linen has a 5,000 signature frequency, we know that it gives energy to the body. Okay? Another website for you to look at is The Power of Linen. Sorry, this is the title of the article. The article is called The Power of Linen. And one thing that I, you know, one of the speakers before me talked about the radiation with the linen and how linen clothing reduces solar, they call it solar gamma radiation. It reduces this by half, okay? So, and it's found that flax fibers, when they took some flax fibers and they retrieved it from radioactive soil, it seemed resistant to radiation. So that's something that, you know, I remember, how many of you remember a couple of years ago when we were doing the drills, we were going down into the cave and everyone was freaking out, people were trying to get gas masks, you know, everyone was freaking out, not everybody had a gas mask, we started running out of gas masks, people were like, what are we going to do? And our supervisor came in to us and she told us that Pastor said that he's going to wear a garbage bag, put a bandana on his face, and he's going to trust in Yahweh. And when she came in and told us that, at that moment, I felt such a sense of relief because, I mean, I do have a gas mask. One is probably dry rotted, but I got two. But, you know, you don't know where you're going to be. And just knowing that Pastor had that trust in Yahweh that he can wear a garbage bag and a bandana and everything's going to be fine, it totally calmed me down because I realized it's really not the gas mask. Just like, it, you know, it's not really the linen, but Yahweh has provided us this garment that is a protection against radiation. Okay, so I know that there's some that think linen is expensive, but it's actually not as expensive as a $500 blanket that's woven with copper and silver, which is what one lady in Britain, she sleeps in a blanket woven with copper and silver because she says that she has electromagnetic sensitivities. And there are some people on the planet that are sensitive to some of these radioactive frequencies. And with this new 5G technology, it's like the fastest, strongest cellular network energy coming out. A lot of them, this woman actually thinks it will kill her. So she sleeps in a $500 blanket woven with copper and silver. And I just wanted to encourage you that linen sheets are cheaper. So if you compare it to that price, linen sheets are cheaper. And if you go the extra mile and buy linen by the yard online and make it yourself, it's even cheaper there. So I, you know, you can Google her and find out. And, you know, those things are true. I do believe those people. They try to discredit them and say they're crazy. But, you know, there are some of us have chemical sensitivities. Some of us have electrical sensitivities. But I just wanted to share that. Okay. But if you would turn over with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. It's on page 3. Genesis 3, chapter 21, it says, "Also for Adam and his wife, Yahweh ordained linen, holy garments for them, to remember his laws, and he placed these garments upon them." Okay, so this was something that was given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we, the house of Yahweh, are the only place on the face of the earth that makes proper holy garments, and we make them out of linen. And our overseer has taken painstaking, you know, he's been specific in that, no, this must be 100% linen. And as you've seen, one of the previous speakers showed how they make it with polyester and all sorts of things. And so now we've taken it a step further, and we have robes that Yahweh's granting us to wear. So in Exodus 33:19 on page 73, if we'll turn there, that's Exodus 33:19. If you notice, okay, like, fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Yahweh says here, "And I, Yahweh, said, I will make all my righteousness pass in front of you." Okay, all my righteousness pass in front of you. "And I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, in your presence, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So notice, it's this righteousness that Yahweh is wanting us to see in this linen. And if you look over to side note R4 in there, it says, "According to the manner in which you see me doing this," and this "me," if any of you don't have a book of Yahweh, the "me" is capital, so it's Yahweh talking here. "You see me doing this, this cloaked," notice that word cloaked as it were in the tallit, "and proclaiming the 13 attributes of mercy. Do you teach Israel to do?" The 13 attributes of Yahweh and his mercy are listed in Exodus 34, 6 to 14. And then it goes on to list those 13 attributes. And we can go over them really quickly. And the first one's almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering, abounding, possessing righteousness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiving, punishing sin, heavenly Father, making the covenant with his, doing marvels, awesome, and jealous. So keep this in mind as we look at Yahweh's character traits, because Yahweh's character, it's our righteousness if we keep these laws. So it's his laws that he wants us to see, and it's also his attributes. Okay, so if you'll turn with me to Yana, the book of Yana, it's on page 702 and 703. We're just going to kind of go through this book, because one thing that would, I think it would be a great activity if you have children or siblings or cousins, what you can do with the book of Yana is you can actually take Yahweh's 13 attributes and plug them in to how Yahweh deals with Yana here. What I want us to look at is how Yahweh was acting towards Yana. Not so much Yana, but even put yourself in the place of Yana, because we've all done things that, you know, we've been given instruction. We, you know, took off because we didn't want to do it, maybe came back. I mean, this is what Yana did in this book. We all know what Yana did, but it's actually how Yahweh dealt with Yana that I wanted to focus on. Okay, so he wanted him to rise up and go to Nineveh. You know, so I am running out of time. All right. Okay, so he told him to rise and go to Nineveh. And if you notice in the side note, it says, foreseeing the great rebellion of the Israelites, he sent his prophets, Gentiles, so that he might provoke them to repentance or make them inexcusable for Nineveh, the great city of the Assyrians. And I have a slide I wanted to show you because I wanted to show you the region. If I could have my first slide. Okay, so you can see, everybody sees Iraq on there, right? It's, if you just go over west from Africa, you see Saudi Arabia, you go up, there's Iraq. This is the region that we're talking about here. Okay, so my second slide, please. Okay, see that red dot? That is Nineveh, Iraq. But one thing that I found interesting, that it's modern-day Mosul. And there's a lot going on in right now with Mosul and ISIS and the war on terror. And you can Google that and look all that up. But that same place where we hear of today is Mosul with all the drama with ISIS is where the drama took place with Yana back in Nineveh, where he didn't want to go. Okay, so just going down. And if you notice in the next side note down, it kind of describes Nineveh and the how its population. And one thing I found was interesting is the population of Nineveh is similar to that of Abilene today. And so if you notice in verse 2, you can actually plug in, like, making the covenant with his. That's one of the attributes that Yahweh has. In verse 4, you can put punish his sin in Almighty. And in verse 17, you can put doing marvels. And in chapter 3, verse 1, forgiving. And you can just go through the whole book of Yana with children and do all of that with it. But one thing I wanted to show you is, hold your place there and let's turn to Daniel chapter 3 really quick, is the other king that I was talking about. Daniel chapter 3 on page 674. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. And he did later on repent, so I'm not trying to down Nebuchadnezzar, because we all have, I mean, all of us could have been a Nebuchadnezzar at one time. But this was where he got angry, okay? So in verse 13, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar was enraged, and with fury, he commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before him, so that these men before the king. And down in verse 19, it says, Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the form of his attitude changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and he commanded that they were to heat the furnace 7 times hotter as normally heated. So one thing I wanted you to notice with Nebuchadnezzar's character trait is that quick anger, that quick to exact retaliation and revenge. And that's something we want to get out. As is back in Yana on page 703, you can see in chapter 4 how Yahweh gently guided Yana and asked him questions. And instead of, you know, scorching him, making the heat 7 times hotter, he actually built a vine and provided shade for him. And it goes on to show you how, you know, we were trained to think that Yahweh was a vengeful, angry God, but we know that he's a merciful, loving father. And in Yana 4 verse 2, Yana even admits that later on, saying, you are compassionate and a merciful father, slow to anger, and of great kindness, who relents from sending calamity. And of course, you can plug in there merciful and compassionate, but I encourage you all to, you know, have that signature of Yahweh, that mercy and that compassion we have towards one another, especially when we're working together and we rub shoulders. Don't be like King Nebuchadnezzar and be quick to anger, quick to revenge. Let's be like Yahweh, slow to anger, compassionate and merciful. And remember that this righteousness that we're putting on with this linen is actually Yahweh's character, his attributes. And let's just keep that in mind and build on that. And with that, If you'll all please stand, I'll turn it over to your next teacher.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. My title today is It's Time. It's Time. And as we know, we've been reading from Revelation 19:8 about being granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And if you look up the side notes on those, in H, it talks about wedding garments. Are we looking forward to the great marriage supper? Praise Yahweh. And in I, it talks about linen, and it's the Hebrew word buzz, meaning to surpass in whiteness. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 101, says protected priesthood of Yahweh. Sorry, I said that wrong, but it is the protected too. Perfected priesthood of Yahweh. And we've been hearing a lot about our protection as well. But we as the saints, in the side note K says, they went on to perfection. And that's what we have been called to do. We have been called to go on to perfection. And sisters, it's time. It's time we go on to perfection. We are so close. And we learned about that perfection is the bond, that love is the bond of that perfection, and making us complete. This is what Yahweh is bringing to. So I have to share a story too, because I've been helping with the project of sewing. And it is an awesome project. And I can tell you in a nutshell why we're doing this. Why are we making fine linen garments? We know all the scriptures and the prophecies, but it's this wonderful word, unity. Because we are learning how to work together in unity. And it is so peaceful. I can't wait to get there. It's like everything tries to hold me back from going. And then when I finally get there, I just sigh a sigh of relief and say, praise Yahweh, I get to help now. It's so exciting. And one morning, I met a sister in the south office, and she had this place on her hand. It was about 2 inches long and about a quarter of an inch wide, and it was purple. And her whole hand was swollen and inflamed. I could tell she was in a lot of pain. At the end of the day, we met in our place in the sewing project, and I asked her, I said, how is your hand doing? She showed me her palm. You could still see the purple. It was very notable. The swelling had gone down. She wasn't in as much pain. So we're back doing our sewing and our little thing that we do with it. She said, come here. It was about 15 minutes later. She said, come look at this. I looked at her hand. There was no sign of purple. Yahweh is amazing what he is doing with this linen. I tell you, when I get to have that clothing all over me and I'm running it in my little machine, it just makes me feel so peaceful. And then as the feast began, I had the wonderful, wonderful blessing of being able to sleep on linen sheets. It is wonderful. I can't even tell you how wonderful it is. It's like, get rid of all those synthetics. I want to get rid of every synthetic fiber I have around me. It's just so calming. I think that's the one thing I feel with the linen is the peace and calming. Remember the essential oil, peace and calming? Just throw a little in my way and I'll be fine. The other day I was so stressed after everything, you know, we have to get done before we come to the feast. And I had to iron those linen sheets because that's what my grandmother did. So I got my iron out and I'm ironing these linen sheets to put on the bed and I just calmed down. This is what linen does for us. So when you feel frustrated and you feel irritated and you're ready to lose it, go grab a little linen. Remember our linen headscarves right here? They'll do wonders for us. Okay, so this is very important. And I want to tell you that our goal in everything we do must be to exhibit the character of Yahweh. Let me repeat that. Our goal in everything we do must be to exhibit the character of Yahweh. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what test is against us. It doesn't matter what we're going through. I'd like to share with you in Job 17:9. Job 17:9, this is on page 421. But the righteous will hold to their ways, and those with clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. This is like the righteous will hold to the ways Pastor is teaching us. Their pure hands, which are practicing righteousness, will grow stronger and make that connection with Yahweh. They are steadfast, sisters, steadfast. Remember that. That's like a cheerful endurance, a hopeful endurance. We have to set our minds in advance to endure to the end. If we remain with Pastor all the way to the end, we will make it into that kingdom. And I can guarantee you, Satan, the adversary, and our whole team are going to do everything they can to get us to quit enduring. Are you with me? Are we going to endure to the end? Praise Yahweh. Let's look at Hebrews 13:9. Hebrews 13:9, this is on page 952. Do not be carried away with the different kinds of strange doctrine, strange, alien, not in one's own family, the great family of Yahweh, the values that we establish here in the house of Yahweh. For it is righteous that the heart be made steadfast by gratitude. What's another word for gratitude, sisters? Thankfulness. Thankfulness will keep you up. Thankfulness has got to have a high, all those frequencies of character traits I know are very, very high. Thankfulness is up there with humble. It's right up there, and if we can be thankful, we go through trials and tests, yes, and I tell people, and I try to practice this myself, when you're in the midst of a deep trial, thank Yahweh ahead of time. Thank him ahead of time, because he already knows how it's going to work out. Thank you, Father Yahweh. I know you've already got this worked out. I don't have a clue how it's going to work out, but I'm putting my trust in you. Thank you, Father Yahweh. And he will work it out. He always does. Has he ever failed us? Never, not one time. Praise Father Yahweh. So, sisters, let's turn over to Daniel 12:10 real quick. Daniel 12:10 on page 684. And it says, many will be purified. That's what we're going through right now, is the purification process. And we are being made white, that bright, that wise, and tried and tested. But the wicked, the unrighteous, the ones that are choosing to hold on to sin, they're hanging on to it. They don't want to let go of it. Even old memories, you got to let those old memories of sin and anything you've done in the past, tell yourself right now, I forgive myself. Because we don't need to carry it around. We've gone to confession. We've confessed our sins. Don't put your sins in a bag and carry them off with you when you walk out the room. We're done with them. It's a clean slate. Okay? But those, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. And that's our goal, sisters, is to sin never again. We are going on to that perfection that Yahweh has called us. So I want to talk a little bit here, because we know that we're the most valued people on the face of the earth. Each and every one of us, born or called to the house of Yahweh, have a very special place in Yahweh's heart. And when you feel the downest, when you feel the most frustrated, when you feel like you want to quit, that your back's against the wall, this is a time to remember your Heavenly Father Yahweh, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the scripture tells us. So I want to ask you, do you see how valued you are by Yahweh? Do you feel valued? Do you value yourself? I'm going to ask you some simple questions here. Yahweh is willing to invest time with you. Yahweh is willing to invest time with you. He chose to call you and invite you to his house to make you into his image and likeness. And he's not going to leave us a half-baked cake. He's going to finish that product as long as we stick with him. Are you willing to invest time in yourself, in overcoming sin and going on to perfection, becoming like Yahweh? And I like how one of the speakers earlier said, it's a matter of changing our perspective. We can't always change our circumstances, but we can change our perspective. Okay, number two, Yahweh actively listens to you. He's perfect in active listening. We learn a lot about active listening skills in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. But do you listen to your internal signals, those emotions, and evaluate your thoughts to negate the negative and promote the positive? And number three, Yahweh appreciates the righteous things you do. Yahweh appreciates what you do, the effort you put into overcoming. He appreciates that. Making right choices when tested, being a peacemaker, serving others, and controlling our emotions. Do you take appreciation in the things you accomplish? And the last one, Yahweh shows interest in your activities and well-being. Yahweh shows interest in your activities and well-being. Do you take interest in your activities and well-being by improving your knowledge, skills, abilities, and character? Do you strive to be the best that you can be? Sisters, we are doing it. It's time. It's granted that we be arrayed in this fine linen, the perfected priesthood, and it's time, sisters, to sin never again. If you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, and as she's coming, I have the words of Yahweh's earthly manager for you to be encouraged by.
Verse 9, how excellent is your great name in all the earth. Now, if you think about it, he offered this to Adam in the Garden of Eden and said, guard and keep it. You've got to guard and keep this way. Well, of course, that's what we're getting ready to do. That's what we're being trained to do, to guard and keep. So, sin, never again.
Shalom, you all can be seated. I think everybody basically said what I need to say, so I should just give y'all a freebie. But let me open up by saying Shane Dill. Do you remember Shane Dill? Shane Dill. Everybody's like, because Shane Dill was the prosecutor in 2008 when Pastor was arrested. And this man represented Abilene Clyde, the Lords of Abilene. I would have to say the Catholic Church, because he came down hard on Pastor. He tried to find everything wrong. But Pastor, along with many other witnesses, did witness, he said something. Shane Dio, when he was talking about the house of Yahweh, he said, they, the house of Yahweh, have some city over there. They're like a city over there. If you ever been here when it's not feast, we're still as busy as when it's feast. We are like a city. And that's one thing they can't deny. All these workers of Satan, they can't deny that Yahweh has a marvelous city that is going to grow into a huge oak tree. Let me give you a little bit of what we have here at the House of Yahweh, especially for those who are listening abroad. Our service, the House of Yahweh service, and I'm talking about Sabbath service, I'm talking about everyday service, is 24 hours a day. It really is. I could hear something at 3 o'clock of a night and call somebody up and say, I hear something outside, and someone is going to answer my phone and go and check on it. Yes, we are that spoiled. We have people who will take care of us. You know what? I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning because I got to get everything ready. But guess what? The electricity is not on. Who would use electricity at 4 o'clock in the morning? Well, because I have to go and serve all the breakfast by the time 7 o'clock. It's a service 24 hours a day. House Yahweh is always open. House Yahweh is always open. We have lawn maintenance. We have restaurants. We have shoppers. We have carpenters. We have people who works at the presses, we have now seamstress, tailors, we have post office. We have everything you can think of that's needed in a city. So this is the beautiful work of Father Yahweh. And why? How is it that we can do this? We're so little, but why is it that Yahweh is so successful with us? And it is his laws. Yahweh's house, we always hear it, was never built by hands, right? Without hands. It was built by people. And the strangest thing is that Yahweh gathered a whole lot of different background people to come here with different languages, different perspectives of lives. But yet, with the unity, we hear that a lot today, because of the unity of the laws of Yahweh, even though I can't stand you, or you irritate me, or I irritate you, we're not going to murder one another. We're not going to throw stones at one another, because the law is sitting between us. We're like, no, we have to keep this law. Let me just walk away from the situation. I can't stone her. I can't roll over her water bottle that's always sitting there on my desk. There's just condensation all over my, because the laws are there. You understand? It keeps that peace. So when we think about the city, the laws are governing. It doesn't matter where you're from in the universe. We're going to get along because we are in unity with the laws. But because we practice this law, because we want to practice these laws, these 613 righteous laws, we will become the righteous tree. It says it right there in Isaiah 61, verses 3. We will be a righteous tree. And what did Yeshua say about the righteous tree? It cannot produce fruits of evil. It can't. Everything that we do will be successful. Everything that we do will only spread the righteousness. And that's the whole point of why Yahweh brought us all together. Yahweh said, I'm going to take these shameful people that can't get along with anybody and make them into my family. I'm going to make them into me, the worst ones in the world. I'm going to make them into me. And the beautiful thing, another beautiful thing, we heard it several times today, Daniel's 12 verses 3. And these that I've chosen, they're going to shine. And they're not just going to shine because they're in this beautiful garment. They're not just going to shine because they are very wise. They're going to shine because they have turned many to righteousness. Their fruits, their labor, their work is only of righteousness. Revelations 19, verse 8 talks about how they will be arrayed in fine linen. But remember also that the city that is being assembled, right? The city that comes to assemble together, they're about care. They're about concern. They gather together to learn to serve. And because we are going to have a city called Yisrael, say the Y with me, Yisrael. Yisrael, the city of Israel, we are going to put this on the map. Do you realize that? We're going to put Yisrael on the map. When we say, come and keep the feast at Yisrael City. I'm waiting for the commercial. Yisrael City. So, on the overhead, get that word in your mind. Yametria. 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 So, the city, Yahweh's city, the greatest city on earth, in Yametria, Yahweh's greatest city on earth, on the overhead, Yahweh's greatest city on earth. You see that? Because we're going to be the only city standing. And we are going to be the greatest. Yahweh's greatest city on earth is 322. Review Pastor Israel Hawkins' license plates, his little blue minivan that he's driving around, dispatching and being delivery man. He's working. 322. And you know something else about Yisrael City that fulfills prophecy? Let me show you on the overhead. Yisrael City. On the overhead. Yisrael City of Protection. This is the only protected place, as Psalms 91 says. This city that everyone is going to be wanting to come to will be the only place that's going to be protected. The only place. How did Yahweh know that we're going to build a city called Yisrael? How did he know that? He put it in the numbers. But remember, like I said, this world is going to fade away. There will be no more city standing. And it's going to be in the mouths of the people. Let's go up to the city of Yisrael. And you know what you'll find there? You know what you'll find there at the city of Yisrael? Yisraelites, I heard it. Yisrael. Yisraelite. Not Israelites, but Yisraelites. Because you know why? What does Yisrael mean? He who rules is Yahweh. And all of us is going to be like Yahweh. All of us are going to be Yisraelites who are disciples of Yisrael Hawkins who rule, remember pastors say not just rule, but guide like Yahweh with the 613 laws. And this little city right now that you're all part of is building a government, a system that's going to grow, take over Texas, take over, what did Pastor say, up to California, take over the earth and our universe. Everyone's going to copycat, imitate this government that is all based on just Yahweh's simple 613 laws. Praise Father Yahweh. If you all please stand, all you ambassadors of, all you Yisraelites, I'd like to introduce the next Yisraelite.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated.
Oh, I said it. Please be seated. Welcome home, woman of New. Welcome home. It is great to be home among your family, right? Right. Let's begin by turning to Matitya chapter 22. Matitya chapter 22. Beginning in verse 2. But I want to remind you two things about prophecy. Two things about prophecy. One, prophecy is for the believers. And two, prophecies are promises. Prophecies are promises. Even though this chapter here is labeled as a parable, I want you to look at it as a prophecy, a promise of what will occur at the wedding feast if you are found unfit or unworthy. Okay? Verse 2. The kingdom of Yahweh is compared to a certain king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his servants to summon those who were invited to the wedding, but they did not come. He sent out other servants again, saying, tell those who are called, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they did not take it seriously and went their ways. One went to his farm, another to his business. Verse 7. So when the king heard, verse 8, then he said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highway, as many as you can find, invite to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both evil and righteous. So the wedding was furnished with guests, both types of guests, right? Righteous guests and evil guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without having a wedding garment? But the man had nothing to see. The king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called and few are chosen. Within these verses, there are many things occurring. Many, many things. But for this speech, I want to concentrate on three things. Three points I want you to look at. One, there was a wedding feast, which will occur in Yahweh Shema. Two, someone, men or women, without a wedding garment, and three, he or she without this wedding garment had nothing to say. So we're going to go over point one, the wedding feast. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 5. Revelation chapter 19, verse 5.
And the voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our Father, all you servants who reverence him both small and great." Continuing verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the house of Yahweh, all the virgins who have been chosen, have made themselves ready." Verse 8, "And to them was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen of the righteous of saints." And he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of Yahweh." So this here is the marriage supper where Yahweh will reign forever, the government of Yahweh. Sisters, when we read this, right, at this marriage feast, you should come to mind, if you are there, you have made it. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. I betrothed you to me over forever, yes. I will betroth you to me in righteousness, judgment, and loving kindness, and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you will know Yahweh. These are the words for the betrothal ceremony. But many years ago, Pastor explained that this here is an inheritance where we will be full-fledged inheritors of the kingdom of Yahweh, children of Yahweh, the royal priesthood. Okay, can you picture it, sisters, being called and selected and chosen for this great kingdom? Can we picture it? I can picture it, sisters. I can. It have to be real to you. It will come to pass. These things are prophecies and promises that will come to pass. But sisters, notice you will be betrothed to Yeshua in what? Righteousness. Now, I am 65 years old. I have gray hair. My eyes are dim. Please remind me, where can I find righteousness? Excellent. Deuteronomy 6:25, and it says, could you all say it for me? That is it. That is it. And if it will be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these laws before Yahweh, our Father, he has commanded us. So all of this, sisters, depend on us doing righteousness. Then we will be accepted and praised forever. No more tears, no more death, no more sadness. These things will be passed away. Point two. Someone without a holy garment, as we read in Matitya chapter 22, verse 11. In Matitya 25, verse 51, these unworthy guests are viewed as wicked servants, and their portion and inheritance is with the hypocrites. Hypocrites, those unworthy. Hypocrites is number 5273, and it means an actor, a stage player, a pretender, a fake person. On the outside, they look righteous, but what are their deeds? What are their works? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, anybody knows what that says? Right, watch your foot when you go to the house of Yahweh. Keep your foot, watch your step when you go to the house of Yahweh. The word foot, I want you to concentrate on that word foot, because it was explained what it means. The word foot is number 7272, and it means a tale bearer, a slanderer, a person who seeks out the weak ones and lead about. To teach to go out, to teach your own views and ideas. So watch your foot when you go to the house of Yahweh. Be mindful of what you see. Reading for your notes, I'd like you to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 17. I want you to read all of it and see what will befall us in these last days for your homework. In the 14th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 19, overseer states, the wedding garment, the full righteousness of the Lord's statutes and judgments, this, that is, they haven't upheld these laws. These hypocrites and unbelievers are ones who have not upheld these laws. Upholding Yahweh's laws is the way to get into the kingdom. This is what qualifies you for the kingdom of Yahweh. Recently, I came to the realization Pastor Israel Hawkins is one of the greatest teachers and prophets that ever walked this earth. And this is why. Can I have the clip, please? Look at the clip. What do you see? I get heart palpitations every day when I see it. Paper, more paper. More paper. And that is his everyday life. Everyday life. Because Yahweh has molded and formed Pastor, and I said again, into one of the greatest prophets and teachers who have ever walked this earth. One of them. A simple, meek farm boy. Simple and meek. From the dust bowl, whose parents taught him to love the scriptures every day. This is him, his everyday life. Did you notice the desk, right? It all started off with one 8-foot table, right? And it kept on growing and growing, more tables and more tables. That is his work. That is his love. It is real to him. Right? That is the knowledge. From this, I can clearly see he will make it. But will we be there with him when he makes it? To sit on the left hand of Yahweh. That is the position he holds. To sit at the left hand of Yahweh. Sometimes we take it for granted. All the work he puts in into the house of Yahweh, everything he has is for us. He teaches us. His tables just expand. All those papers are sermons, notes, some given, some not given. And I can assure you, he has more than one offices like that. It has to be real for us. He is doing his part. And all it takes is us, to follow in his footsteps. Read what he has put out. It has to be real to us, sisters. Because a book is being written about us. Everything we say and we do. What will be written in this book? What? Will it be righteousness? Will we qualify for this garment? So now, think about point number 3. The person had nothing to say because everything was provided for you. They have no excuse why you don't have the garment, this righteousness on us. What would you say? Would you play the what if game? Would you play if I did only listen? If I did only go to classes? Would that be going through our minds when we are bounded hand and feet because we are unfit? Sisters, it's time for us to grow. We must grow. Yahweh willing, none of us will be fall into those kind of categories as being unfit and unworthy. Because you do not want to be bound hand and foot and be missing out. Because you will miss out if you don't have this garment. No more pretending, no more acting. No more hypocrisy. Watch our words and our deeds. Let our righteousness bring forth, shine forth. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints. Please sit. I guess I'll have to summarize our speeches. With all the wonderful speeches we have heard, I'd like to speak about the sound. I would like to speak about the sound effect of the last trumpeter. You've heard a lot about frequencies already and the wonderful benefits of the linen and all the frequencies, everything. So I'm going to summarize it nicely into, are we ready for the resurrection? Why? Because that's why we are getting prepared now. And we know this is the last generation. So in these last days, the sound effect of the last trumpeter. Did you remember the Feast of Trumpets? We listened to the trumpet and it blew. Did you remember that? Did you enjoy the sound? To me, it was a wonderful sound. And they kept going and you could hear things occurring in the sound of the trumpet. Now, if you want to say it's the trumpet, now the great one sent has said already, he has explained it well. He said, there is something about the sound of the trumpet that's going to be used in resurrecting the dead. Do you remember him saying that? Yes, Revelation 10 talks about the sound of the trumpet or trumpeter. And 1 Corinthians 15, 52, in that area, if you read those two scriptures, compare them. There's a lot about the sound of the trumpet and the trumpeter. Who is the trumpeter in these last days? And his work, because he explained to us, the great will resurrect the males, and us, the females. So it's the body of Messiah with the great overseer under Yahshua, Yahweh, our Father. So, I want you to pay attention. Let me play a small audio. Listen to the sound of the trumpet and also the trumpeter and the body of Messiah. Could we listen to the audio, please?
At the count of three, I would like to hear a hallelujah way. One, two, three. Hallelujah!
Now, did you hear the sound? There is something about sound. The sound. The dead will hear the voice or the sound. What it is about sound? We have heard a lot about the frequency in the dress. What about the sound? Can we now, if you want to say, well, it's the frequency of the sound waves or the vibration of the sound. If you want to say that way, that's fine. But I would like to think it more in when we go back to the beginning, when Yahweh created the heaven and the earth, everything stems on Yahweh's creation. So we would have to see it's the microorganisms that create those sound waves or sound patterns, or sound frequencies. It's back to the beginning with Yahweh's creation. Now, can we look at a small video on a sound? What sound is, please?
Sound is a wave that we perceive with our ears. It makes our favorite music and it keeps us out of danger, but it's so much more than that. Hey everybody, thanks for checking out DNews today. I'm Trace. Now listen up. Sound is extremely powerful. It's made of invisible waves of energy passing through substances, ground, water, air, particle to particle. The human ear can perceive these waves as long as their frequency is between 20 hertz and 20,000 hertz. Anything above or below that, we can't hear, but they're still there, because these waves contain energy. And with enough din, you can make these waves do some incredible things. Outside of medical technology like ultrasound, one of the most commonly known ways to make sound do something is by breaking a glass. This works only when the sound wave is at the exact same frequency as the object you're shooting at. If you gently flick a wine glass with your fingernail, you will hear its frequency. Match that tone and turn the volume up, way, way up to like 11. And that glass will probably break. Also within the range of hearing is sound levitation. This is way cooler than breaking stuff, if you ask me. Sound levitation has been around for years, but until recently, we couldn't do much with the stuff once it was levitated. It just sort of hung there in the air. Thanks to advances at a Swiss university called ETH Zurich, we can not only levitate stuff, but we can move it around, adjusting floating fluids. This works by using the energy in the sound waves. In this apparatus, the energy waves reflect back and forth so quickly they form what's called a standing wave, or a specific point where the energy from the sound can hold an object in midair. Think of it like these silly executive desk toys. The ball in the middle, that's the standing wave. The thing that they just figured out is how to move the stuff once it's levitating. Now they can use this system to manipulate liquids, combining and separating them, all without touching them with human hands, which is immediately applicable to drug manufacturing. That's kind of cool. These energy waves can do a lot of other stuff too. The LRAD, or long-range acoustical device, is a weapon that shoots sound. It's like a sonic death ray, but without the death part. It can produce so much sound that you feel physical pain, like 160 decibels. That's loud. Think NASA rocket launch. But it won't kill you. It just really hurt. Like a sonic hurt ray. If you combine some of those technologies, sound can produce really strange effects. In the 1950s, NASA and the US Navy built a device that produces ultra-low frequencies, or ultrasonic sound. If you pointed it at a person and set it to 19 hertz, people would have vision problems and get spots and stuff, because 19 hertz is the resonant frequency of the human eyeball. Kind of like that wine glass example we talked about. If you turn the volume up, people actually would have trouble breathing because the low frequencies were impacting the lungs like energy waves. And if you shot it through the ground, your skeleton would vibrate, causing nausea and joint pain. So which of these sound inventions is your favorite? The levitating ones for drug manufacturing, ultrasound, or maybe one of the ones that are used for evil?
Sound waves, you see, mankind has used the sound waves to do what he desires. But the power is what I wanted you to see. There are many things that sound can do. Let's look at sound effect of Yeshua's voice. You remember Yeshua when he was walking through, coming from Bethany, and he walked in the fig field, and he saw the fig. He was hungry, and there was no fruit on it. And he said to it, he said with his voice, "Let no fruit bear or come from you again." That's the power of his sound, the power in his voice. So today, Great House, are we getting ready? Now, it's not about talking really loud. The power in your voice, because your voice and the sound of the Great Last Days Witness, his voice, our voices already have the properties. So what is it that we need to be building on? Great House, do you want to get rid of pain and suffering? Do you want to get rid of sickness? Do you want to get rid of everything you see, the abortion of the babies, the selling of people's body parts? Do you want to get rid of all the pain in the earth? Now, this is where the power is going to come from. Not the sound of your voice exactly, but your righteousness is what is going to make us become like Yahweh. Make the microorganisms want to believe us and trust us, and then we can raise the dead. So your voices are already in place. Yahweh gave that to the Great One sent. His voice is ready. He will raise the dead. It's our turn to get ready now to serve and to help. The sound and the voice is powerful. But it is only with the righteousness that is in us, the building of our hearts, the creating into our hearts, like Yahweh, becoming like Yahweh in essence. So let us, for this feast, take part in everything that we are learning so we can become like Yahweh. We can get ourselves ready to resurrect the dead. And that's what our hope and our desire is. Praise Yahweh. And with that, we turn over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.